cause I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and this is one of our world-famous Versus episodes. Joining me from D.C. to keep score and crack wise and keep us all in check, please welcome Nice Dave Schneier. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Pat. I can only promise I'll do one of three things of the things you've listed.
All right.
I can't tell you which one yet.
Now, what's behind you? A bunch of Ansel Adams photos?
No, these are my father's photos. Oh, okay. When he retired, he picked up photography and did his own dark room and framing. What is that?
No. Just I was suddenly reminded of your wedding.
What happened?
One of the worst
wedding
moments of shame of my entire life.
Oh no! What happened? Did you hit on Dave Schneider's mom?
No.
No.
What happened?
I don't even, Dave, it's up to you. I know it's your wedding. You
go ahead.
Whether you want to tell the story.
It's not even going to be funny.
It's not even funny. It's just shameful.
Sad? What did you do?
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Dave, but on every table, there was a framed photo that his father had.
Yeah, so my dad took pictures of all these places in D.C., like the Washington Monument. Like, so if you were at the Washington Monument table, there was a picture in the middle.
Okay.
So, continue.
I don't think I knew at the time that the photographs were taken by his father.
Okay.
I don't believe I knew. Okay.
Let's say they weren't taken by his father. Is the thing that you did still not a good thing to do?
It's just stupid. It's just, I was really, really drunk.
Oh boy. Yep.
And I picked up the photo and I pretended to lick it for no good reason.
Every photo or just one?
Just the one that was on
just the one. Just the one
table at hand.
All right. And
I looked over.
I believe my dad was right there, wasn't he?
It was to the disgust. disgust of his father, this look and glance from his father, who was like, "Who is this degenerate?"
Oh my God!
And here's the good. The only good news on that is that I'm sure he was drunk as well, so it's okay.
I don't know, man. That look that he gave me, he sobered him up real quick when he saw my stupid ass.
Yeah, the photos he took that night were all out of focus.
Oh, good night.
Noted. Was Dave? Was Nancy at the wedding with you?
Yes, she was.
Okay. And if she heard
Nancy is how I met Dave through, well, yeah, no, that's
wait,
not true.
I met
Nancy through Dave.
We've covered this in a previous.
We have.
Episode. Okay. I can't remember it all. All right. Yes. Very good. I thought it was going to be worse than that, to be honest. So just licking the photo, that's fine.
Yes, it was.
Well, your father's a great photographer then.
Thank you.
Pretty great. What age did he take up this hobby?
Somewhere between 65 and 70, probably.
And he developed his own film, Darkroom and everything?
Darkroom and everything.
Like, yeah. I still don't understand how that works. How you take the film. I don't either.
I mean, he
still
had...
Still give him some water, and then it turns into a picture. It's like a magic trick.
It really is. And the quality of the photos, too. He eventually turned to digital after a little while.
Uh-huh. He gave up.
Health reasons. Jesus. He couldn't stand in a dark room for as long as he used to be able to. So digital became that much easier. But what he was doing, he turned the downstairs bathroom in my parents' house into a dark room.
All right.
Fascinating stuff.
I hope they had more than one bathroom.
Yes, three bathrooms in the house.
All right, good. And from Joyzy, you've already heard him speak and embarrass himself.
Yeah.
Angry Dave Festini.
I'm not angry.
Well, it says angry on your. It's you have it written right
well,
there.
Well, I did that as a joke.
All right.
You've painted me with an angry brush.
You get a haircut recently, Dave? Did you get a haircut? Mm-hmm. Looks good.
It is a good. That is a great haircut, actually.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Nice. Yeah. Is it
courtesy of Igor?
All right. Family approved it.
Yes. Yeah. No more long haircuts.
No more.
Okay.
After a while, come on. We can't all be Rick Springfield.
But that doesn't mean I don't want to be.
Well, that's true. I would love a thick, full head of long hair. That would be amazing. But
wouldn't we all? Wouldn't we all?
You get what you get and you don't get
upset. Happy I still have hair.
Yes, me too. Yeah. That's how I feel. I'm happy to have this. Anyone watch the Academy Awards last night?
Yeah, I did.
I popped in for a brief moment.
Yeah, they were good. They moved briskly. Everything seemed
fine. Al Pacino wanted that thing to end real fast.
Jesus Christ, Pacino didn't even read the nominees. Weird. He just opens the envelope and reads the winner. And I hope someone went up and checked the envelope because you never know.
Seriously. Can we stop rolling
out? But at that point, if everybody comes up and accepts the award, what do you do?
Well, they did it. They did it that year that Faye Dunaway and
Warren Beatty. Yeah.
They actually came up to accept.
Yeah. Everybody from La La Land came up.
Oof.
And one of the producers or somebody from the Academy came out. And they were like, they're like, nope, sorry, Moonlight, you're the winners.
Oh my. Yeah. I was not aware of that.
I was so wanting Al Pacino to say La La Land instead of Oppenheimer.
Haven't we learned after a certain age, don't let those people give away the award of the night. Unless they're coherent.
Wait. Spielberg. What does age have to do with it? Age really has nothing. It's the person. It's not the age.
True. You're right. Spielberg is right on it. Pacino, a hot mess.
Yes.
a hot mess.
Hoo-ah.
All right. I listened to our last Versus episode at the end, and I had swore on Dave's mother and his wonderful wife, Nancy. I swore on their lives that there would be no shenanigans tonight, and there's not. We are doing sports versus Let me give you the rundown. Sports will go first because it was released September 15th, 1983. Will go second because it was released October 25th, 1983. So literally they were, 6 weeks within release of each other. Both have 9 songs. I do want to give a shout out and a bravo to Huey Lewis and the News. They produced this themselves. So not sharing any of that money with an outside person, which I'm always amazed when a newer artist gets to produce.
Well, I mean, it's their third album.
It's their third album, but I mean, well, they did a good job too. I mean, sonically, it sounds great. They knew what they were
doing. Yeah, and I think too that they're all kind of session, like they've been in bands before.
Yeah.
So they'd been around
brand new. Mellencamp gets a co-producing credit with Don Gaiman, who I guess most famously produced REM's hot albums of the day.
Yeah.
IRS.
Isn't he credited as Little Bastard?
In Wikipedia it says John Mellencamp, but yeah, he's the Little Bastard. He's the Little Bastard. So those are the albums.
Who's going first?
Dave goes first. He's the odd.
Got it.
He's always odd.
Excellent.
And Huey Lewis in the News is going to go first too. So let me crank up some volume here. Make sure we can hear.
Yeah, I can never be sure.
Can never be sure what?
I won't be sure until. In fact, I think you even started with the heartbeat last time. Okay. Yeah. So
I understand.
You'll forgive me if I don't trust you.
I don't blame you. I've been untrustworthy many a time, so it's fine. Okay, first we hear that bell. Round one starts out with Huey Lewis in the News, the heart of rock and roll. Here we go. Don't worry, it's coming. I promise.
There it is.
You know, it just dawned on me we didn't do an audio test.
No, we didn't. I don't hear anything.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Guys, you're exactly right. I did not share the audio.
Pat was grooving. Pat was grooving.
Yeah, Pat's bebopping away, and it's like, I don't hear
I'm grooving,
anything.
And you guys are like, I don't hear anything. All right.
This song sucks.
Share the audio. So stupid. How many times have we done this?
Not enough.
Okay.
Yeah, barely. Okay. Not enough.
All right. The audio has been shared. And guess what we're going to do? I hear a little bell. Started like all over again. How'd that sound, guys?
That was good.
All right.
There we go.
And then it goes right into some other song.
Yeah. Let's.
I was playing imagine. The long con.
And you've taken out my wife and mother.
I know. Sad. That is a Huey Lewis and the News original that was written by Johnny Cola, if I'm saying that right, and Mr. Huey Lewis. So that's a strong song. That was a hit.
It was.
Now they got to face off against the first single from Pink Houses, or not from Pink Houses. What the fuck, Pat? From Uh-Huh. Uh-huh. How do you say the title, Dave Frestini?
Uh-Huh.
You don't say Uh-Huh?
I don't put on an Elvis impersonation when I say the name.
Well, let me tell you something.
Just Uh-Huh.
All right. I saw Mellencamp on this tour, by the way.
Oh.
In a theater in Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Pretty great.
Must have been incredible.
It was pretty great. And just like in the video, they brought out a big ladder and he crawled up it on stage. Kind of fun. Easy prop. Just get a ladder. All right, this is Crumbling Down.
Oof.
Two top 10 hit singles going head to head.
Wow.
Both of these guys do charitable works. Mellencamp with Farm Aid. Still waiting for them to find a cure. And and then Huey Lewis was We Are the World. All right, Christine, what do you got for us between these two?
Oh, this is hard. As you know.
Yeah,
I do not go and look at track listings, right, although I knew right. that Harder Rock and Roll was the first song on this album. But
neither do I. When I'm putting this in order in the iTunes, I put a piece of paper so I can only see that I'm, you know, right. putting the numbers together. I don't look at the title or anything.
Man, this is hard. This I know I say this in every episode, but this might be the toughest yet.
The toughest yet?
They're just so good. They're both great. I got to the point where I'm trying to think, like, which one have I probably listened to more in my lifetime? And that would be the tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Are you counting?
And I think if I do that, I can remember as a kid playing The Heart of Rock and Roll over and over and over again.
Okay.
And I love Crumbling Down, but I don't remember like putting it on a loop and listening to it in making my parents want to kill themselves because I played it 20 times in a row. So I'm going to regret this, I'm sure, going forward, but I'm going with Huey on this one.
All right. There's one for The Heart of Rock and Roll. I'm going with Crumbling Down. Again, everyone knows I'm not a big Huey Lewis fan, but I do go song for song, and I will be honest, but I mean, Crumbling Down, it just rocks, and it just sonically, it's just great. It just sounds tough. And that Huey Heart of Rock and Roll is a little cheesy for me.
Oh, come on.
The heartbeat for 6 minutes. Go. And then, you know, in Cleveland, New York, Hollywood. Okay, name some places.
Oh, stop it. Really?
Yeah.
Disdain for Huey happens post sports.
In Cleveland. I own sports.
All right. I can see where this is going.
Well, you knew. Look, you're not arguing with my pick either. You like both songs.
I love both songs. I didn't say Crumbling Down was cheesy.
Well, because it's not. The friend of the show, Kenny Aronoff, the drums on that are just, that snare is just so tight.
I love Kenny Aronoff. I love his work with Mellencamp, but I don't think of him when I listen to that song.
All right. Well, you're listening with some wrong ears, buddy.
Wow. So right. Early for this.
It is.
You All right.
Round
bitch.
Two. Round two. Dave Schneier, if you want to look up where these next two songs charted, that would be great.
Happy to.
If you want to make yourself useful.
Wow.
Do something.
No, I feel like I took his job away by saying top 10 hit and blah, blah, blah. I forgot.
No, you're good. All good.
No. I don't want to steal your job, and I don't want to do it. Okay. So here we go. Round two. Huey Lewis in the News. Sports. Coming in with Heart and Soul. Here we go.
Cowbell there.
Yeah. I always forget songs that have cowbell in it until I hear the cowbell in the song. All right.
Just I believe that's little, the beauty of the instrument.
Letting you know that song, Heart and Soul, written by Mike Chapman and Nicky Chin. Those guys are some hit makers. Working with everybody. Okay. Oh boy.
Oh no.
Oh boy.
What is it?
Let's hear a little. Dave, what color is your house? Because this house is pink. Here we go.
It's track two.
Yeah. Track two.
Oh no.
Fucking around. yourself to give it first.
And he looks at her and says, "Hey, darling, I can remember when you could stop a cloud. Oh, but ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America something to see, baby? Ain't that America home of the free? Yeah, little pink houses for you and me."
All right. Again, two hits again. I don't know where these two charted. Maybe
that's Dave's job.
They both charted. Highest charting was number 8 for both of them.
Wow.
Wow.
Amazing.
Wow.
Wow.
Right in this, right around the same time, probably too.
Mm.
I wonder if there was any time where one of these guys knocked the other guy out of a slot or something. That'd be hard to find out. But all right. This is a round 2. It's an even round. I do like Heart and Soul better than the Heart of Rock and Roll. I do like that song. Although I hate when in a sequence of an album, when you get I don't like that there's two Heart songs in a row. Like, I don't like when a band has two songs with the word rock in and they're, or tonight and they're in a row. I just don't like that to see it. It's just not my thing. But of these two songs, I mean, Pink Houses is just such a classic. And I love the lyrics, and I love how it sounds, and I just love everything about it. So I like both songs, but it's Pink Houses for me.
This is another almost impossible task.
That's why we play.
I love Heart and Soul. It is the kind of quintessential roll the windows down in the summertime, sing along. I love it. But then Pink Houses comes along, and I love that one too. But the good news is I have two factors here which will help me with my decision.
Okay.
The fact that Heart and Soul is not written by the band, because as I've said in the past, that means something to me, that, you know, if the song is written by either someone in the band or you know, whatever, the entire band. Pink Houses is written by Mellencamp, and thematically, Heart and Soul is just kind of like, you know, it's just another song about a girl. It's not exactly original content, where I think Pink Houses has a statement to make. So I'm going with Pink Houses.
Oh, okay.
How do you
no comment. Any of that?
How about that lyric in Pink Houses, though, when the guy looks at his wife and says, "I remember when you were good looking," basically.
Well, you know, I actually wrote that down. Like, you got to give the win to somebody who can rhyme slop and clock in the lyrics. Yeah.
Mellencamp,
when you were hot.
Yeah. Mellencamp really, he pushes the rhyming limits a lot.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. Moving on. Round 3. What's the score right now? Let's hear it.
Right now, John Mellencamp up 3-1.
All right.
Really? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you're right.
And Crumbling Down was written by Mellencamp with George Green, and Pink Houses was a Mellencamp solo.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. Here we go. It's an odd round. Jumping in the ring right now, Huey Lewis in the News, a little something called Bad Is Bad. Here we go.
I can hear them already.
Thank you.
right, Bad is Bad by Huey Lewis in the News. I believe there's a lot of songwriters on that. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Oh, boy.
That's going to go straight up against John. He's Cougar still. John Cougar Mellencamp.
He's John Cougar Mellencamp, yeah.
Yep. This is Authority Song.
Oh.
Dave Festini, it's an odd round. What do you have for us?
I have a clear winner on this one. I like both songs, but there's a clear winner here. Although I feel like I'm going to have to defend Huey's honor, because I'm sure you're about to launch an attack on Bad is Bad like nobody's fucking business. Authority Song. Authority Song is the better song. And it's just, that's it. I mean, as fun to me as Bad as Bad is, and I'm gonna remember singing along to it as a kid.
Fun.
It is fun. It's part of the experience of Huey Lewis in the News. It's part of the, for lack of a better term, it's part of the shtick with Huey Lewis in the News, with the beat, with the, you know, the doo-wop, and the, yeah, they do it really well. Is it dated? Yes, but it was fun. It was fun to sing along, and it was a hit. So I'm not the only person who thought this.
Bad wasn't a hit.
It was a single. It was a hit. Dave,
know about that?
Get on.
Not a single.
Bullshit. I don't believe you.
It's not.
Singles from video.
Isn't there a video?
No.
Don't make me do my own research.
Go ahead.
We'll see the other titles, maybe.
Go ahead. I can't list the other singles. I can't do that.
They can't tell us yet.
All right, fine. Anyway, my vote is for Authority Song.
Okay. Right.
My vote is also for Authority Song. I mean, look, six writers on Bad is Bad. What the hell?
Are you serious?
Six writers.
Six.
Six. For that.
Doesn't make it any less fun.
The title says it all.
Bad is Bad.
Come on.
That's weak.
Oh, just it stop.
Weak is weak.
Wow.
It is a novelty song. It's fun. You're telling me you skipped it. In the heyday of Huey Lewis in the News, you skipped that song?
I had this album on vinyl, so I didn't skip anything on vinyl. There was no skipping.
Well, sure there was. You could pick. If you really hated it enough, you could pick it up and move to the next song.
The song, by the way, was penned originally with Huey Lewis's original band Clover, which may be the reason why there's so many songwriters on it. It could have been some of the original from Clover and then some of the guys from Huey
Lewis. Well, there you go. Thank you, Dave. That provides some insight there. Thank you.
I'll give you some insight also. Three songs in, we have one song they didn't write and a holdover from Clover. A Clover holdover.
Uh-huh.
Hold over. Let Clover come over. Sounds like they didn't have anything in the tank. Third album in. All right. Moving on.
Nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that song.
When did CDs come out?
Didn't they become like popular?
Was Uh-Huh released simultaneously on LP and CD at the same time? Do you remember?
1982 is when CDs were made available to the public.
Okay. Yeah, but that doesn't mean that everything was being released.
No, you're right.
I mean, I could pull my album and see if, my Uh-Huh is a reissue.
I just feel like, I feel like Uh-Huh was sequenced for CD specifically because, man, is that front loaded with the three singles immediately.
It may have been released on CD, but that wasn't the popular medium at the time.
Right.
Cassettes.
Okay. Still. They front loaded it. All right. Round four. You ready?
Yes. Bring it.
All right. I don't know what Mellencamp's bringing, but the guns are blazing right now with something called I Want a New Drug. How far up the chart did that go? Is that a number one?
That song went to
far enough that nope. Ray Parker Jr. ripped it off for Ghostbusters.
Number six on the Billboard Hot 100.
I would have thought that was higher than six, but I feel like that was everywhere.
But it did go number one on the U.S. Dance/Disco Top 80.
Wow. All right. That's interesting. All right. Mellencamp, he does not have a hit in the tank right now. He has to go up against I Want a New Drug with something called A Warmer Place to Sleep. Round four is an even round, which means I go first. It's a Huey Lewis original written with Chris Hayes. That guy's great on guitar. When I saw Huey Lewis with him twice, he was great. I like Warmer Place to Sleep. You know, might be a little generic. And I mean, just for nostalgia, and it's such a fun song. I mean, Weird Al, you know, does a parody of it. So I'm going with I Want a New Drug.
I'm surprised by the fact that it was you even thought about going the other direction. Listen, Warmer Place to Sleep is good.
It's good. The drums are great.
It's a testament.
The drums are
kicking. Yes. It's a testament to the album that an album track can be that enjoyable.
Yeah.
But I Want a New Drug is a staple of a decade. I mean, huge. I can't believe it didn't go higher than number six. I mean, it was.
I would have thought it was number one. I would have definitely
everywhere.
Thought it was number one.
So to me, this is an easy. I'm actually kind of happy because I, being a fan of the album, I know what songs are coming. I don't know how they're sequenced, but I know what's coming, and I was happy to hear Warmer Place to Sleep because I was afraid that one of the other tracks from later in the album would give I Want a New Drug a run for its money. But right. Yeah, for me, it's I Want a New Drug. It's just not kind of iconic song. And it made me wonder if Huey Lewis and the News are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they're not.
No.
And the question I pose to you,
they've
two
even been nominated,
is,
right? They've not been even nominated.
They haven't. And I feel that's an injustice. We're listening right now. I'm on my Foreigner bandwagon.
I was gonna say, there's so many injustices. Injustices?
Yeah,
sure.
That's right. All right.
Injustice.
Well, when Foreigner finally gets in, then Huey Lewis in the News is my next.
That'll be the next project. Shirt you wear. Yeah. That'll be the next shirt.
I feel like
next hill I die on.
I feel like the Huey Lewis in the News, it's I don't know if the music holds up. It's kitschy.
I'm going to disagree with that one, actually.
I don't know.
Before you groan, Dave.
It's very 80s. It a lot of the stuff, and I Want a New Drug falls into that category. It's very 80s, but that doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean it shouldn't be acknowledged. I never saw Huey Lewis in the News live, and I regret it because from what I've heard, they're incredible.
They were great. They were great.
They're fantastic.
I wonder if the comedic videos took away the musical cred, and so they're not thought of seriously enough. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay.
I'm wondering. But those videos also helped to fucking sell those albums. So, I mean, it's
but
tough.
Can I ask a question? Do you think some of these songs, like I Want a New Drug or Heart and Soul?
All right.
I Want a New Drug and Heart and Soul. Take videos out of it. Just try to take videos out of it for a second. Is that AOR type of radio rock that you would have listened to and been like, man, I love this song. I can't wait for it to come on the radio again.
So hard to remove.
Oh, yeah. Is there even a video for, I know it's not on this album, but for, wait. Do you Believe in Love? Is there a video for that?
Probably.
Yeah, I think there is.
Probably very generic if there is. I'm sure it wasn't.
A very generic video.
Yeah.
I love that song.
I love that song too. It's not on this album though.
So no, I get if someone were to say, well, boy, that sounds very 80s. I get that. But to me, that doesn't mean they don't hold up. It just means that they were popular in a certain generation. I love 50s music. But when you hear it, it was clearly made in the 50s.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. When I listen to the Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, it sounds ridiculous. But I love it.
Wait a minute. not ridiculous.
It sounds unbelievable that would even exist. All right. I don't know. I know that I Want a New Drug ended side one on the vinyl. I'm not sure. I don't have the vinyl track listing in front of me for Uh-Huh. But I also think the first side was just four songs, I think.
I can confirm this if you'd like.
Well.
No, not important. Isn't this what we have Dave for?
I don't know if he can find that or not.
It's interesting because Wikipedia just lists it as nine songs straight through, whereas they break up side one and side two for Huey.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, whatever. Let's just say we're starting side two of the vinyl for both of these. I don't know if it's right or not.
I did find one thing real quick. I found the cassette. The last song on side one is Warmer Place to Sleep.
Okay, so we're going on to side two.
There you go.
Of the vinyl back in 83. How much
you want score? You want a score update, by the way?
I would love it. It's probably a tie.
Well, Mellencamp is up right now 5-3.
Okay.
Huey making a nice little comeback because of I Want a New Drug.
All right. And because of my honesty.
Yes.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right.
Nothing else.
What round are you, five. Are you implying that somehow I'm not being honest in my assessment?
No, but I'm implying that you might think that I would just go all in on Mellencamp, even though I'm not a huge fan of either.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. It's coming.
Okay, so anyway, this next song from Huey Lewis and the News for round five is not written by the band. It's written by Andre Hessis and Kevin Wells. And it's something called Walking on a Thin Line. Here we go, round five. Reminds me of Springfield. Bleep, bleep.
Mm.
A little bit. What song am I thinking of? Human Touch.
Yeah. Human Touch, right.
Bleep, bleep, bleep.
Sometimes in my bed at night, I curse the dark and I pray for the light. And sometimes the light's no consolation.
That song makes a little bit of a statement in a pop song. That's obviously about a war veteran coming back. He's maybe suicidal because of his PTSD. And they put all that into like a fun little rocking song. It's kind of interesting. It's not Goodnight Saigon.
Yes, that's true.
All right. So. Outside writers on that one going up because
I knew it was coming. It's got to be next. It has to be that from that reaction. It has to be.
Jesus Christ. Oh, this is John Cougar Mellencamp enters the ring with Jackie O.
So you went to a party with Jacqueline Onassis. If you're so smart, why don't you wear glasses so you can see what you're doing to me?
Wow.
So you can see what tomorrow might bring.
Right. Co-written by John Mellencamp and John Prine.
That's incredible.
Incredible. Dave, Dave's up.
Yeah.
It would have taken a lot to knock Walking on a Thin Line out for me. You know, I'll tell you something. With Huey Lewis in the News, as much as I love them, it is a situation where a lot of their stuff was not written by the band.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important to me when it comes to judging quality of the work, whatever, head to head. I love Walking on a Thin Line. I love it more than some of the single. Was it a single?
No. Well, hold on. Hold please.
If it was, it was late. It was
fifth single. Okay. It was the fifth single. All
right. But I love it than more than some of the more popular stuff, you know, the One of New Drugs and the like. So it was a winner for me from the start. Jackie O, listen, would you feel better about it if there were 11 songs on this album? Because that's part of it, I think, right? What are there, nine?
Nine on both of these.
You're doing an album with nine songs. Jackie O's clearly filler. I don't know what's happening there. What the inspiration is behind it. But it's clearly filler. It's certainly walking a thin line for me.
Yeah, I'll ask a question after Pat goes. Go ahead.
All right. I don't have the disdain and hatred for it.
First of all, how do you kick off a side with Jack?
Yeah.
It's a throwaway novelty B-side at best. I mean, I don't know if him and Prine were boozing it up or what when they wrote that, but it's a throwaway. It sounds like one take. It's no fun at all. It's just not fun at all. And Walking on a Thin Line is one of my favorite, maybe my favorite song on Sports.
It's great.
I love it. So, I mean, I'm all in on Walking on a Thin Line, and Jackie O, I don't know what, I mean, if Jackie O was up against Bad is Bad, I'd just jump out the window. I don't even know where I could vote.
Wow.
By the way, the album clocks in at 32 minutes.
It's short.
Crap. Sports is 37 minutes. But go ahead, Dave. Now, Dave, you wanted to make a statement, Dave Schneier.
Manifest. Statement, question, whatever. Do you think Mellencamp was so inspired by Prine's early work that he just was like, oh, I can't wait to work with John Prine, and he got a chance to do it? Lyrically, it's not terrible, but the little like Casio drum machine kind of thing, it didn't have to be so 80s, because the rest of the album, and I'm not trying to go further past Jackie, but if you listen to the early stuff, right, with the guitars and the tight snare from Aronoff, I mean, you're right. It doesn't fit on this album at all, but I think it was just an opportunity for him to work with Prine and go, I wrote a song with John Prine. Okay.
The rest of the album is so strong. If he just wants to dick around on a track, give him a break.
Let it be the last song.
That's what you want to go out with? That's what you want the last song to be.
And then it fades out.
You know what might have saved it for me is if they would have let Grandma sing this one.
Oh, Jesus. Here we go. That's when inevitably we do Scarecrow against something else, he's gonna go on a tangent about grandma. His freaking grandma. It's his actual grandmother singing the song and has an issue with it.
John Prine had gone to bed.
You sing that whole album is about the loss of a generation, of generations worth of history. The man puts his grandmother on the fucking thing to sing a song, and Pat, crucifies him with it.
Grandma didn't get the record contract. Go make some biscuits, Granny.
Oh, my God. I'll take grandma's song over anything Mellencamp's done in the last 20 years.
Go
back in the kitchen and dole out the slop, Grandma.
I remember when Grandma could stop a clock.
Oh my God, that Jackie O song stops a clock. Is my heart rate up because of that song? All right. Round six. Now we're getting into some territory where I might not know this song. Huey Lewis in the New, 1983, news. Sports, track six, round six, Finally Found a Home.
Oh, shit.
So fed up. People always asking me, what will you be when you grow up?
tweets. What is happening with Mellencamp? He's got to jump in the ring after getting beat down with the shitty Jackie O. Jackie O, no.
Oh, no.
Mellencamp decides after that song and playing Casio that he's going to just play guitar.
In a brand new shiny car, your face in the wind and your hair cuts in friends to kill bizarre. You may find a cushy job and I hope that you go far. If you really want to taste some cool success, get learn to play guitar. Play guitar. Play guitar. Play guitar. Oh yeah. Play guitar. Play guitar. Play guitar. Oh yeah.
All right, this is an even round, so I will go first. Dave Schneier, who wrote these songs? I mean, I know Mellencamp wrote...
Mellencamp and a couple of his regular cronies, who's worked with before, finally found a home. Bob Brown, along with Huey Lewis and, Chris Hayes.
All right. So these are original songs. For me, that Huey Lewis song is generic. Like when they go into the chorus of, you know, the title of the song, finally found a home, like they could be singing any chorus for a minute. Want a new draw? I mean, it's just generic to me. And it just is. And then that song has to follow a killer song, and Play Guitar follows a shitty song. But head to head, Play Guitar just kicks ass. It really does. So forget all about that macho shit, Dave.
How great is this particular matchup thematically? Yeah.
Yep.
In that the Huey Lewis song is about finally finding a home on the stage. You know, you don't feel right in other environments, but when you're on the stage, you feel at home, and that's where you're comfortable, and that's where you find joy. And then play guitar is like, listen, if you really want to be happy and have a great time, play guitar. You know, so thematically, what a great matchup. Play Guitar is one of my favorite John Cougar Mellencamp songs of all time, because to me it defines this generation of Mellencamp before he really got he's not so much, well, later he gets political. I don't know if I'd say Scarecrow is political as much as it is concerned with
the
plight of the farmer. This is still in that John Cougar Mellencamp swagger time of his songwriting. It's just such a great tune. That whole line that you just said where he goes, forget all about that macho shit and learn how to play guitar, is perfect. So
it really sums him up, his attitude, everything.
Yes, this genre, this era of Mellencamp stuff, it sums it all up. So my vote is for Play Guitar, but I do love Finally Found a Home, because I guess as a kid I kind of connected to it too, wanting to be a performer and be up on a stage. But Play Guitar is just, it's perfect. It's a perfect Mellencamp song for me. It's the stuff I wish he would have continued to do later in his career, mixed in with the other things.
Yeah. I mean, Mellencamp did do this for a long time. He has quite a run of albums before he just says, all right, I've done that.
Which is fine. My problem with Mellencamp is that he looks back on it like it's not quality work.
Right. And it is quality work.
He's dismissive of the earlier stuff, including probably this album. And to me, that's insulting to the audience that loves it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, that's, it's great. It's just great stuff.
And the audience that carried you through the 80s into the 90s.
Right? Yeah. We wouldn't be able to make the shit you're making today if we hadn't bought this album, John.
Yeah, this is the mailbox money period. I don't want him up there blowing into a jug and with a tub with a stick and a string. I don't want to hear any of that.
No.
Comes out.
No, sir.
Blowing here.
Dave Schneier, what's the score? Is it close? Still close, I think.
It is close. Mellencamp has retaken the lead. He is up 7-5.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's a close one.
I am not seeing what the next Mellencamp song is yet, but I am seeing what the next Huey Lewis song is. Mm. And Mellencamp, he might have to bring some heat because Huey is bringing If This Is It. I apologize for coughing without muting my mic. All right. I'm concerned for Mellencamp's welfare right now.
Uh-oh.
What's going to happen? I'm scrolling. I'm going to see. Oh, boy. I mean, it's just right now we're into some serious business. It's an odd round, round seven. So we go to Mr. Dave Festini.
Okay.
Words of wisdom. Get some honesty. I hope we're going to get some honesty here.
Absolutely. That's what you always get. Who wrote If This Is It, Dave?
Who wrote that one? That was written by Huey Lewis.
Okay. Really?
And Johnny Cola.
Really?
Really?
Because to me, I like the song If This Is It, but if you want to talk generic, I kind of feel this one's a little bit on the generic side. They take it and do something with it that makes it their sound, but as far as the song is concerned, it's a little bit on the generic side. But I do like it very much as a memorable video, which doesn't hurt. But Serious Business, again, after play guitar, you go right into serious business, which again is this core Mellencamp swagger attitude. It's just the best. It's one of the songs that makes me love this record. So I like If This Is It. It's a fun song, but I'm going serious business.
Yeah, I mean, Mellencamp gets in the ring and he gives Huey a combination of punches with play guitar and serious business back to back. It's, I mean, If This Is It's a nice little ditty of a song. It's sweet, sounds good, but serious business. I forgot about this song, and it might be better than play guitar. Well, I don't know. I'm just
wait a minute. Like, if you forgot about it, how does it beat If This Is It?
I don't know. I mean, it does because right here in the moment, I'm going to go with that. If I could only hear one of those two songs for the rest of my life, it's 100% serious business, sex and violence and rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's such right an by angry the song versus such right a sweet song.
Don't worry about the drugs.
You don't need the drugs.
Right to violence.
Right. Yeah. Right to violence.
Kick you right in the tasty freeze.
Wow.
Also, I'm a little concerned about how those kids are eating their chili dogs.
No.
Sucking on it.
Sucking on it.
Come on.
Wait. I thought isn't the chili dog an ice cream thing too? Isn't there an ice cream like the Choco Taco, like that sort of thing? Isn't there an ice cream chili dog?
I thought it was a real chili dog.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
They sucking on an ice cream chili dog.
Is that what they, is that what the kids call an entendre? Double entendre?
Maybe. He's calling his wiener a chili dog.
Therein is the double.
Getting a BJ outside the Tasty Free.
Oh, my goodness.
That song's actually innocent.
Evidently, it's not.
I guess not if they're sucking on these dogs.
Chili dogs.
Dave, what's the score? And where did, If This Is It, where did that chart? Because
First of all, I will say that Mellencamp right now is up 9-5. If This Is It charted at number 6 on the UK or US Billboard Hot 100, US Billboard one. Number 6 charted higher than I Want a New Drug.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a big hit, that song.
It was.
It's a terrible fucking song.
Oh, shut your mouth.
I'm sorry.
How dare you?
I know I'm keeping score, but it irks me.
You can still have an opinion, Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it can suck too.
You could suck on my chili dog.
all right, round 8. Huh. Interesting on this one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I looked up chili dog ice cream. I got nothing. I got people who make things that look like chili dogs as ice cream, but it's not like a franchised thing. So apparently, it's a penis.
Do me a favor. Google image the word suckin' and see what comes up. Hey, before I play this track 8 from Huey Lewis in the News, Dave Schneier, can you tell me who wrote it?
Sure can.
Incognito window. Here we go.
Huey Lewis? And Mario Cipollina.
Oh, that's the guy that doesn't quite fit in. He's like the badass, right? He's the bass player, right? Isn't he?
Yeah, he's the one who just has the cigarette hanging outside.
Yeah. He looks like he got fired from Sha Na Na. Okay.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Round 8 kicks off with something called You Crack Me Up. Me Up. The tail end of both of these albums. We're on side 2, track 8. Moving on to All right. John Mellencamp bringing something called Lovin' Mother Foya.
And what the fuck?
Round 8, that's me. It's an even round. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I've never liked Lovin' Mother Foya. I don't like it. It's you know, it sounds like they're jamming and just having fun in the studio, but I don't know if the songwriting is great on this one. I see your face, Dave Festini. You're shocked. But I am going with You Crack Me Up. You really, really do. That's what I'm going with. Just don't like Lovin' Mother Foya.
Okay.
Listen.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
He's speechless.
It isn't so much that you've chosen the Huey Lewis song. I like You Crack Me Up. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
How do you say you don't like? What's not to like with Lovin' Mother Foya?
I don't know. The title, the everything. It's coming off some...
The lyric, let me put my kicking mule into your stall.
It's coming off two really strong songs. And then this one just seems like it's just not good.
I'm pretty sure I blew out some speakers with Lovin' Mother Foya when I was a kid. I love this. This is the prime funky Mellencamp that I long for.
Oh boy.
From start to finish. I love You Crack Me Up. I do. I really, really do. but my God, Lovin' Mother Foya is the best track on this. Might be the best track on this album. It's so good. It's so good.
I'm going to quote the beginning of this song. What the fuck?
That's so stupid and good.
You would never
see Sammy Hagar at the start of the song.
I know. You would never be able to convince anyone that this is the best song on this album.
It's so dumb and good, and it's rock and roll.
And this is what you love about Mellencamp at this period.
Oh, yes. Everything. Everything.
This is what annoyed your parents about you listening to Mellencamp at turn it up to 11, right?
It's great. It's loud. It's dirty. It's just, you know, he puts in the liner notes. It's like, you know, thanks the Rolling Stones for never leaving the living room off of their records. Like, this is, it's just, yeah, it is pure wow. Mellencamp bliss, this song.
Okay, so who are you voting for?
I'm voting for John, of course, but I also I have a little bit of, if you're still curious about the chili dog thing.
Sure.
I have some Reddit information here.
Oh, yeah, that's very trustworthy.
That's not good.
Eating. He's talking about chili dogs. And then someone said, this is Pot Pro from 7 years ago. Figured he wasn't deep throating a chili dog, but every time I hear it, I get that mental image.
All right. Thank you.
And apparently,
you can't even get through it without laughing. You cannot get through.
Chili dogs are another name for slush puppies. A slush puppy is like, it's like almost like an Italian, it's like a Slurpee. Yeah. So, chili dogs is another name for slush puppies, in which case, sucking on a chili dog, sucking on a slush puppy.
He did not mean it that way.
I don't think he did.
No way. There is no way.
Chili dogs are on the menu at Tasty Freeze, I'm pretty sure.
If you perverts want to think of it differently, then that's fine with
me. I do.
I think it's wholesome.
I do.
And it's a slush puppy.
Nope. Pants down behind the Tasty Freeze.
Oh, my goodness. where are we with a score, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Give it to us, Dave.
Well, we have one round to go. Do you really want me to give you the score at this point? It is 10-6. John Mellencamp in the lead.
So, Huey can get closer. But
you can get closer.
You can't tie.
Cannot win.
And
you cannot
win either.
No, can't win, can't tie.
All right. Here we go. And I'm going to tell you, round nine is not going to be kind to Huey Lewis.
says you.
Says me. I don't even know what the Mellencamp song is, so I shouldn't speak. But let's go into the ring with some honky tonk blues. I think I get it. That's enough. Let's see. Oh, Mellencamp is bringing some Golden Gates.
Ain't no angel with a harp coming singing. Leastways, not that I know of in this world.
Mellencamp looking way ahead to some Lonesome Jubilee sounding music with that song. Dave, go ahead. Honky Tonk Blues, which, who wrote that?
Hank Williams.
Yep, third cover on the album, 3 of 9, a third of the album, not original.
Well, I don't know if the others qualify as covers.
Well, they're not original tunes.
Right.
Outside.
Golden Gates is a great way to close the album.
Yes.
I know you would have preferred he throw Jackie O at the end, but clearly Golden Gates is a better way to close the album.
Yeah, I mean, I would prefer no Jackie O, and go, because Golden Gates, you're right, it's rocking like the whole time. Pink House is mid-tempo, I guess. But then this one is just, I love his voice on this too, when he really, you know, sings this way, sings in a heartfelt way. I love how his voice sounds. I'm sorry, continue.
Yeah, it's a great way to close the album. And yes, the Huey Lewis song is a cover. This one's clearly a cover, whereas, you know, the others, they're just playing songs that were written by other people.
Right.
I don't even know how much they made of their own, to be quite honest. I haven't heard the original, but I'm guessing it doesn't stray too far from what Huey Lewis and the News are doing here.
Okay.
And I also believe that Honky Tonk Blues is a fun way to end the album too. Close it with a cover, like a clear traditional cover song. It's fun. Golden Gates, I just don't particularly like the song.
Okay.
It's a good way to close it. I'm just not a big fan of the song. And Honky Tonk Blues is fun. Like Golden Gate, like after Love and Mother Phone, yeah, I was pretty much out with If I didn't hear the last track, whatever. But if I was listening to sports, I listened to Honky Tonk Blues because it was just a stupid fun way to end the album. So my vote goes to Huey.
Wow.
I'm
flabbergasted at this. I don't even know if I like Hank Williams' version of this song.
So I certainly don't
like this. That's a joke. I mean, it's a joke that I'm saying that I don't even know if I like Hank Williams.
Oh.
But I mean, it's Golden Gates for me, because this Honky Tonk Blues just makes it seem like there's no gas in the tank when they went in to record this album, even though it's loaded with popular songs. And did Sports sell more than Uh-Huh? I think it did.
Oh, it probably did.
Yeah.
Although I don't know with Pink Houses.
No, that's true. Let's find out.
Dave?
Let's see. Sports in the U.S. sold 7 million.
Wow. That's a ton.
Yeah.
Why does Wikipedia is really bad with Uh-Huh. I'll look it up. Keep talking, but I'll look it up.
I mean, it's just a stupid fun way to end the album. I don't know why, you know, take it for what it is.
Well, my vote is Golden Gates.
Ah, boo.
Nah, you shut up. 3 million is what I'm finding on Uh-Huh.
Yeah, three.
So it's over twice as many, because those hits were everywhere.
Yeah, Huey Lewis and the News ruled the world.
They really did.
For a period of time.
Albums is crazy.
Which is another reason why they should be in the, you know, they should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Not necessarily, and I know you don't necessarily want to go, how many albums sold shouldn't be the reason why, but that's not necessarily it.
That's important sometimes, though, too, to show that they were relative.
It's certainly part of it. But the other thing is like Huey Lewis and the News were, they captivated an audience for a certain period of time. You couldn't turn on MTV without seeing them. You couldn't turn on the radio without hearing them. So there has to be some sort of recognition.
There's no rhyme,
that.
But there's no rhyme or reason for the voting on the Rock. Let's be honest. I mean, it's a whole other discussion. I agree with you, Dave, but there's no rhyme or reason to sit here and go like, well, they sold 7 million albums for this album alone, so they belong.
But after,
it wasn't just this album, it was fun.
Four sold 3 million, but let's be honest, after Four in 1986, it was kind of over for Huey Lewis and the News. The longevity is not there in that.
True.
Small World was really not great.
And then Hard to Play, I barely remember. And these other ones, I don't know these other. Four Chords and Several Years Ago, Plan B.
Well, that was a cover. The Four Chords album was a cover.
And if you go previous, Picture This sold 500,000.
Yeah. So
really?
Sports
didn't even hit 1 million?
Nope.
Yeah, no, Gold. So, I mean, their window of success, although mighty, is very small.
Is Janet Jackson in?
Yes.
Yes, she is.
All right. Well, how about her window? Control, Rhythm Nation.
She's still out there.
Well, Huey would be too if he wasn't fucking deaf. I mean, give him a break.
I could argue that she, I would argue that she, as a female artist, changed the way a lot of music was listened to as far as what, and you can throw it to Jimmy Jam. And
yeah, Jerry, you think right? If Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, you know, look,
let's not go
albums,
down that path again.
Janet's, you ever heard her first album? What's the name of that one?
It's called Fuck You. I believe that's what it's called. But I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm saying the impact she had as a female artist.
And her multi-platinum sales went into 2006. I mean, Control, right. 5 million. Rhythm
Maybe
Nation,
it was
6
a
million.
Bad comparison.
Janet, 6 million. The Velvet Rope,
and the
3 million.
Their own albums.
I can't believe the Velvet Rope sold 3 million. I couldn't name a song off of that thing.
I had one...
That's going to be going head to head next time with Toto. No.
It was a bad comparison.
We've got a winner. It's John Mellencamp taking it. John Cougar Mellencamp taking it 11-7.
All right.
Wow.
7.
Not necessarily the way I saw this going.
I thought it was going to be closer.
I thought it was going to be a little bit closer too. But there's some clunktastic songs on sports. And Mellencamp brings a couple clunkers as well.
But it also is about the matchups. It's really about the matchups.
It's the matchup. It's always the matchup.
Of course, right? It's always about the matchups. But what are the clunktastic songs on sports? Honky Tonk Blues?
Loving Mother Foya?
No. On sports. You said on sports.
Oh, Honky Tonk Blues.
One.
If this is it.
The Bad is Bad.
Oh, yeah. See, you're a Bad is Bad hater. I don't mind Bad is Bad. Yeah.
Even Harder Rock and Roll isn't great.
Oh my God.
Oh.
It's good and clean.
You just do anything. You know what? You say anything to piss me off at this point. You're just poking the fucking bear. That's what you're doing.
Let me throw out a matchup for next time. Let me think.
Okay.
What do you think of this? I've been trying to figure out an album that could go up against REO Speedwagon's High Infidelity.
Yes, we've talked about this in the past.
There's 10 songs on that, right, Dave? I don't want to look it up.
I'm looking it up.
Came out in 1980 and has 10 songs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This other album also came out in 1980 and I believe has 10 songs. Queen, The Game.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
So... I think that's the next matchup.
Oh my goodness!
Does the game have 10 songs?
You know that you're destroying this man.
Don't put something up against my favorite Queen album. That's not right.
My favorite Queen album too. And it's my favorite REO Speedwagon album.
Oh shit!
How close, Dave? Can you also tell us when they came out in 1980? Like where?
Yep. Give me 1 minute. High Infidelity was released in November, released November 21st, 1980.
And Queen was probably in the summer, I believe.
That was, yeah, June 30th, 1980.
All right. That's the next matchup then. Queen, The Game. Oof. Versus High Infidelity. And I got to be honest, I feel like that's going to be a really tough one.
Good.
For both of us. Lord.
And I think this is going to be that one is going to be very talked about.
Yeah.
Like a lot of discussion.
Yeah.
In the interwebs on that one.
Because Queen is revered and Speedwagon can sometimes be a punchline. But I got to tell you, those are two.
There could be pitchforks involved in this one. Absolutely.
They could be the one that ends the series.
They might come up and burn down the castle.
Yeah.
All right. Dave, you can't listen to those two albums.
No.
I can't either. Schneier, you can. Dave Schneier, how did you keep your own score for this one?
Right here.
What do you got?
An actual piece of paper. I had Johnny Cougar 6-3 over Huey Lewis.
And the okay, and do you have our individuals? Like, what was Dave's individual?
Yep, let's see. So Dave had 1, 2, 3, 4 for Huey Lewis. So that would be 5 then, right, for Cougar? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
What was I, like 6'3"?
Yeah, Pat, you had 6'3".
All right. Stop shaking your head, Fistini. I can see.
No, it's fine. You know, we all biased against.
But it's a
Huey.
Good matchup.
Well,
it was a really good matchup. On paper, good. To start the whole thing, like you think, like these are two of the biggest stars of music in the 1980s.
Yeah.
You don't have to argue it with me. I'm just saying that, you know, one of the two, Pat hasn't gone out and said he poops his pants all the time. So, you know.
Well, Mellencamp's an idiot right now, and too. So, I mean.
Apparently, he brought Bruce out recently for some sort of horrible performance that probably put everyone to sleep.
Good yeah. Lord. He had to bring Bruce in to try to give him some cred on that two-hour.
Forgot about all that macho shit.
Good God.
Stop smoking. Mellencamp. How come Mellencamp's head's so big? I don't get it.
He had some great hair, though.
You know what the playout song's going to be tonight? It's got to be Grandma's tune. So let's
Grandma's song. Grandma's song, right?
Grandma's theme, maybe it's
Grandma's
called.
Theme. I think you're right. I think it is theme.
All right. Tell us about Dave's mixtape.
Dark stormy night.
Gonna feature Grandma's theme next time. Dave's mixtape available on all my fine social media channels. You can find me at Dave Schneier. Put some new music up last Friday. There's some good stuff out there. I don't know what else is coming up, but check it out. See what you like. Thanks to Jeff Scoble for always liking my stuff first more than anybody.
He likes everything first. He's addicted to liking things.
Love
and,
it.
Instagram and Twitter, Dave Schneier.
Yep, at Dave Schneier. It's across the board.
All right.
That's where you can find me.
Dave Fistini, we're getting very close to the debut
of Working Class Pod.
I can't wait.
So excited. I cannot wait for it.
I've got my calendar marked.
You shouldn't.
I think Allison's going to be the first song we talk about. It's going to be amazing. I'm living in Oz. And Dave, where else can we find you other than that that podcast?
Huey Lewis and the News Fans Unite. You can find me at DFestini on Twitter X, whatever you want to call it.
Right. Yes, Huey Lewis and the News Fans Unite in knowing that he got his ass kicked 11-7. In round eight,
had worse beatings.
It's already over in round eight.
That's true.
And if not for Jackie O, it would have been much worse.
Follow us on Twitter at Rock Solid Show and on Instagram at Rock Solid Show. Go to rocksolidpodcast.com for all things about the show. And if you want to support the show and help me get some cool prizes and win prizes, get episodes early, all that fucking shit. Patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast, as little as $2 a month, $24 a year. If you win one, but if you win a rock bio, you've made your money back.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
You win
totally
one
worth
CD,
it.
You win one book, you Absolutely. Win one anything. It pays for itself.
Multi-winner here, worth every penny.
I got copies of Mark Volman's autobiography coming up. He will also be a guest on the show. What else do I got? Oh, I'm getting Blu-ray copies of the Immediate Family documentary because I interviewed Leland Sklar last week.
Nice.
The Blu-ray copy of that doc has 3 additional hours of interview footage. Ooh. So, wow. I mean, there's, I'm always getting the prizes and I'm working. So anyway, with that, guys, this was a fun one. This was actually a quick one. So go enjoy your families.
They're all everyone, asleep.
Everyone whip their chili dogs out and have some fun tonight. Thank you, Dave Schneier.
Thank you, Pat.
You'll find me at the Tasty Freeze.
Thank you, Dave Fistini.
You're welcome anytime.
And please enjoy Grandma's theme.
was a dark, stormy night as the train rattled on. All the passengers had gone to bed, except a young man with a baby in his arms sat there with a bowed down head. The innocent one began crying just then, as though its poor heart would break. One angry man said, "Make that child stop its noise, for it's keeping all of us awake."
There he is.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Got to put my glasses on. I got to see what kind of t-shirt Dave's wearing.
What do you got? Is that Foreigner?
Yeah, the bullshit farewell tour 2023. The never-ending farewell.
Oh, good. Is Kelly Hansen on that shirt?
He's on the back.
Sure he is.
Unfortunately. Well, you know, he's in Foreigner now.
Has he been the vocalist in Foreigner longer than Lou Gramm was? I'm going to say,
is that even possible?
I don't think it is.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, it's easily checked. Let's see.
I wish there was a way to check it.
Yeah.
I really wish there was a way.
That's going to make me sad.
I'm going to get my Encyclopedia Britannica and see what we can
probably
find
true
out.
Though.
Oh God. They're really getting a. Varner is getting a, what's that called? Not a resurgence, a
backlash.
No, I don't know. Who the hell knows? Let's see.
2005, by the way, is when it looks like Kelly Hansen joined.
All right. Well, that's 19 years.
Where's that stupid graph that Wikipedia does?
Formation and debut album, 1976 to 77. So 77.
Well, all right. I have 76 to 90, which would be 14, right?
Okay. Yep. Because he left in
90. And then 92 to 2003, which is another 8, 9, 10, 11.
It's 9 years there, right?
It's close though.
Yeah. Sadly, I guess it is close.
It is close.
Wow.
Well, what we can all agree on is fuck Johnny Edwards.